Taking hope to the world. I want to use a passage that, well, at first glance, it might sound a little strange because part of this passage is a kind of a negative thing. Mark chapter 6. And in this passage, you have people doubting Jesus, not trusting him, not believing him. Well, because they know him, or they think they know him. And when we consider this idea of what it looks like to take hope to the world, I think we can learn some things from this passage out of Mark, from some of what was done, but also from some of what should have been done. And so as believers in Jesus, we are called to carry a message of hope to a world in desperate need. We do that most effectively when we join people in their time of need. And we take four things. We're going to, as I typically do, spell out a word with the outline and the words hope. But we do that when we take honor. In Mark chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, we see what happens when honor isn't given. It says, Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives in his own house, is a prophet without honor. Now, that's a pretty bad statement, but it's worse, in my opinion, because verse 5 says, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. And I wonder what would happen when we go in to offer hope to the world if we would begin by giving honor. So many times when we enter into the disaster needs of people, and we experience them all around us, whether they're as huge as a hurricane or earthquake or tornado, or where they're simply disastrous news from the doctor. A bad report at school, a downsizing at work. You see, we experience those things that people begin to feel unappreciated, unloved, dishonored. And what would happen as we entered into the lives of people if we give honor? We value them for being who they are. Philippians 2:3 says to do nothing out of selfish ambition and or vain conceit, but to consider others better than yourselves. And I think one of the reasons why we hesitate to take hope to the world is, well, we begin in our mind to think in some way, some form, that they deserve what they got. I've heard it many times. I've even thought it myself as I go into a hurricane zone. Well, why do they keep building here? That they know it's going to happen. And yet as I listen to their stories and I hear the history of generation after generation, this is their home. Where else would they go? If they left, they would leave their heritage. They would leave everything that they had built their life around. It's not so easy to just change our circumstances. We kind of do the similar thing when it's closer to home. We see a person in need, a person that's hungry, without food, a person perhaps even homeless, and why don't they just get a job? Why don't they do this? And without even realizing it, we come to that point where we're not giving honor. We're not considering them better than ourselves. And then we wonder why they don't hear the message of hope that we offer through Jesus. Some of the most humbling times that I've had on these trips is simply sitting down with a homeowner and listening to their story, praying with them, hearing their pain and their hurt. I talked about this gentleman with the tree limb in his bathroom. And it would have been easy to say, you don't have your priorities straight here. There's bigger problems than that. But to give him honor and to sit and say, Tell me about it. And some of them would have had lived through it and stayed at home as the hurricane went through. Others had evacuated and came back and found the mess. But as we interact with people this week, what does it look like to give honor? And I think in our culture especially, we're so busy that one of the, I want to say easiest things, although it's not easy, to give honor is to simply sit down and listen. To give our time. And so we give hope to the world when we give honor to the people we meet. Because when they begin to realize that we believe they have value, then when we tell them that the value they have to God is even greater, there's a greater likelihood that they'll believe it. And so we give hope to the world when we give honor to the world. We give hope to the world when we give opportunity. In verses 2 and 3 of Mark chapter 6, it says, "When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him and that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" Get this, and they took offense at him. And I believe this idea of giving opportunity to the people kind of follows the precept of giving honor. It is to invite people into our world, our life, instead of writing them off. Here's an entire crowd that wrote off Jesus because they thought they knew him. He can't do anything. We know all about him. We know his past. We know this. We know that. And we live that way. And we see people that we've known for generations. And perhaps the Spirit plants in our mind a thought, I ought to invite them to church with me. I ought to have them over for dinner. I ought to... And then doubt creeps in and well, they've never come before, so I'm not even going to waste my words. I don't know that they would like it. That's just not the type of person they are. You see, we begin to withhold opportunity because we think we know people, just as the crowd thought they knew Jesus. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, we're told to be wise, and in doing so, to make the most of every opportunity. What would it look like this week if we were to give people the opportunity to have hope? Studies have shown and continue to show, even in today's culture, that at Christmas time and Easter, but Christmas time even more so, people are predominantly inclined to agree to visit a church service. They recognize that there's something that we celebrate at Christmas, even if they don't have a relationship with Jesus, even if that's not really what they would say they're into. But there's a longing for something. And a huge number of people are out there saying, I would go if somebody would ask me. And yet, we live life afraid. I don't want to offend them. I don't want them to think I'm strange. I don't want... And we focus it on us instead of giving an opportunity. And we take hope to the world when we give them an opportunity to say yes. There have been a few occasions, and as I've traveled with IDES, that we've offered that opportunity, and even with our best persuasion, they've said no thank you. We don't want your help. We don't understand why you would do it. But for the most part, people have eventually said, well, if you're sure this is free, if you're sure there's no catch, I'll take that opportunity and receive help. And I think people in our world, in our nation, in our communities are somewhat skeptical of Christians. There's some catch to it somehow, somewhere. And God calls us to invite them into this opportunity to know the family that we have. And we take hope to the world when we take honor to the people that we interact with, when we take opportunity to those that are around us. One of the things that Romans chapter 12, there's a passage in it that talks about God gifting people with various talents, various abilities. And some are gifted in serving, and some in giving, and some in leading, and some in teaching. But in the midst of that, as he talks about those, he says, if this is their gift, then let them use it. Now, I understand there are people who claim to be gifted in things that they're not good at. And so there does require some sense of discernment, some sense of wisdom in doing that. But it's that idea of giving the opportunity. If God has gifted you, then what are you doing with that opportunity? It's I pack up chainsaws and I go out whether it's, 1,000 miles away or whether it's 5 miles away. Most of the work that I do with IDES is very distant from where I live. But that doesn't stop me from throwing the chainsaws in the truck and going to a neighbor's house. Going to someone nearby that has also had damage and could use that gifting. And I believe we all have those opportunities in our life that not only are opportunities for us, but God says, are you going to give someone else the opportunity to serve, but also the opportunity to be served, taking hope to the world? I've always loved coming up here, and it seems like the North Wayne community has always had their antenna up, so to speak, for needs in the community. And it doesn't take much. I'm sure that Cheryl would probably say, well, it takes a lot of work behind the scenes to get everybody together, but you hear of a need, and let's do a chicken barbecue. Let's do this. Let's get together. Let's help. Let's give the entire congregation the opportunity to take hope to this family or to that family. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about when we take hope to the world. One of my favorite quotes out of one of my trips with IDES is we were helping a family, and they were just so overwhelmed with appreciation. And the guy was asking, is there anything that I can do, anything that I can give? Do you need gas money? Do you need this? Do you need that? Something I ought to... And one of the guys that was volunteered with us was just calmly told him, no, Jesus has paid for all of this already. And when we begin to live life and giving that opportunity to others, we realize the stuff I have, whether it's tangible stuff, whether it's talents, whether it's abilities, Jesus has already paid for it. I ought to be sharing it. And so we take hope to the world when we take honor to the world, when we take opportunity to the world. We're getting to that peace this week. When we take peace to the world. Verses 7 through 10 out of Mark chapter 6. It says, calling the 12 to him, he sent them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over evil spirits. And these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. And whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. Paul writes to the Romans and to us in Romans 12:18, and says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As I think about Jesus sending out the disciples to take hope to the world, the message of the kingdom of God, he gives them authority to cast out evil spirits, to set aside the distractions. But he says, take nothing extra. Nothing that's going to weigh you down. Nothing that's going to become burdensome. To go into a community to share the good news of Jesus with a sense of peace. If a home welcomes you, stay there. Be at peace with your surroundings. When we take hope to this world, when we take a sense of peace with us. And I think over the last 2 years, we have lived in such turmoil. It's not that the turmoil has really been all that greater than the previous years. It's just been amplified in its volume. COVID has done a number on deepening the division between people. And what would it look like if we kind of rose above the fray of our society and said, you know, I want to come in peace. I want to live out scripture that says that as far as it depends on me, I'm going to be at peace with everyone. I can assure you, not everyone will agree with everything you do, everything you say, everything you believe. At least, I've not found that experience in my life. But the way we handle people, the way we live at peace, often has a great influence in how we get along with others that we disagree with. You see, that's where this message of peace becomes important. It ought to be fairly easy to get along with one another when we agree about everything. But how often does that really happen? Not very often. And so we take this message of peace when we learn that through Jesus we can get along even when we disagree about things that, well, probably aren't nearly as important as we think they are. One of the things that I love about Paul's writings is so many times, and you read them and he can get very detailed. You ought to be doing this. You ought to be doing that. You should not be doing that. Quit doing that. But he reaches a point in his life where he writes, he says, I have resolved to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. You talk about a message of peace. When that becomes central to what we believe, what we live, what we share, then the other stuff kind of loses its importance. I shared a few weeks ago at another church, and it was preaching a passage that begins with a phrase that says, now about meat sacrificed to idols. And I says, you know, how many in this room have ever been concerned about that issue? Not a single one. But the gist of the passage was learning to understand one another, learning to not be at war with one another over differing opinions and those that would eat the meat sacrificed to idols and those that would not. There was this peace that Paul was trying to write about and says, you know, if one chooses not to because of their conscience and another says, it's just meat, then don't be at war with one another. And so I said then, and say now, I says, I think in today's culture, he might have written something more similar to the lines now about masks and vaccines and all things COVID related. You see, we all have our opinions on all of that stuff. And most of us, at least, I think, try to do a good job of using wisdom and applying it to our own situation, but it's become such a divisive issue that we need those instructions that say, learn to be at peace with one another. Learn to respect those that think differently than you. learn to, as we talked about in the first point, to honor one another above yourselves. You see, we take hope to the world when we take peace, but when the world sees us fighting amongst each other and with one another just like they are, what do we really have to offer? If they want to fight, they can stay home and fight. But to live at peace and to take peace to others. Finally, we take hope to the world when we take honor to the world, when we take opportunity to the world, when we take peace to the world, but we take encouragement to the world. This passage that I'm looking at out of Mark 6 kind of ends in a rather negative tone and then shifts to a positive one. But these last few verses, Mark 6, 11 through 13, he says, if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, then shake the dust off of your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. And so they went out and preached that people should repent. And they, the disciples, drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. There are times where I believe it's just best to step back and say that's something God has to deal with. It's not that we don't continue praying. It's not that we don't care any longer. But when we reach a stalemate, so to speak, in the ability to encourage someone, and we see in this passage, which says, if the home doesn't welcome you, if you're not welcomed there, he doesn't say, keep beating on the door, keep yelling at them, keep insisting that they listen. He says, step back. It's not that they're condemned. It's not that they're lost forever, but it's not the time. You're not the person. And in doing so, we find that by stepping back when it was appropriate, that the disciples were able to encourage many. They continued to call people to repentance, to call people to change their lives. There was a sense of an encouragement. And we take hope to the world when we begin to encourage people that change is possible. That you don't have to be the way that you've been. That God can use you to do incredible things. I think sometimes we get used to looking at certain people. Well, of course God uses them. I mean, look at them. But me? I'm a nobody. But if you read the Bible, and if you really grasp the characters that are pictured throughout the Bible, it really, at least to me, appears that God kind of specializes in using the nobodies of the world to proclaim Him as somebody. And this morning, as I consider what it looks like to take hope to the world, I want to encourage every one of you that you can do that. Not only can you do that, God wants you to do that. He wants you to be one that honors others. He wants you to be one that gives others opportunities. He wants you to be one that lives at peace. He wants you to be an encourager. One of the greatest struggles that young people today are facing is a struggle of depression, of discouragement, of despair. And it's easy to look at the generation that isn't ours and whatever generation you feel you belong to. We kind of look at the others and say, well, they don't understand. If they would live like me, things wouldn't be so bad. But those statements really have little to none, no value when it comes to encouraging. What happens When every person that we see this week, we think of something positive to say to them. When you gather on a Sunday morning, I really appreciated this. You see, living as those that have hope ought to lead us to take that hope to the world. See, God's desire for every one of us. In Hebrews chapter 3:13, he says, the writer says, to encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. And I love that repetition, because you think, well, encourage one another daily, of course that's today. But it's almost, well, if you didn't catch it, that's today too. And also later in Hebrews, he says to, that's kind of the purpose. He says, does not forsake the gathering together for the purpose of encouraging one another. You see, when we encourage one another in this room, we're better prepared to encourage whoever we see throughout the week. And in doing so, we take hope to the world. It's what I do when I volunteer with IDES. I try to honor those we serve. I try to give them the opportunity to be involved. I try to create peace in situations that, well, aren't always peaceful. But I try to encourage them to live life with their eyes on Jesus. See, for you and me, we have that responsibility. As God's children, our calling, no matter who we are, no matter what we've been trained to do, no matter what we think we're good at or not good at, God says you're supposed to be His representative. We celebrate Christmas time. We talk a lot about Jesus coming. You know, these themes of Advent. We talk about hope. We talk about peace. We talk about love. We talk about joy. The things that Jesus has brought into our life. His direction for us is they were brought into your life for a purpose. And that purpose was not simply to make your life better, but that purpose was to share it with others. Today, who will you take hope to? Who will you share that hope with this week? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that has filled us with hope through your Spirit. You've taken our life and you've taken the things that we've done in life that we're not proud of. And you've forgiven our sins. And you've transformed us. You've changed us into your children. So God, today, help us to live as not only as those who have hope, but help us to learn how to more effectively take that hope to the world. That by using whatever you've given us, that we would find ways to share hope. And God, today, as we consider the week ahead of us, may we be more mindful than ever before of each person that we cross paths with. May we consider how to take hope to them. Perhaps it's a family member that we've just not gotten along with well. A coworker. An old friend that we've kind of become estranged from. A neighbor. Just someone that we've crossed paths with that we really don't even know their name. May we see beyond our preconceived perceptions and see the hope that's needed in their life. And because of Jesus, may we be able to share that hope. And may you help us this week to take hope to the world. And whether that world is miles away or whether that world is standing in front of us, may we live a life that lifts up Jesus so that many would find hope in Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen.